Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to technically the 1 whole year anniversary of the monthly Gone Pro series. And with that comes finally getting a name for this series because I listen, when I'm on other shows and I try to plug this, it'd be beating my ass to try to figure out what I want to refer to this as. because I mean, the original title we were using was just interchanging the months. So it was hard to basically explain the actual title of the show to people. That's not a problem anymore. I came up with two names. I had us decide, and this series going forward will be the Ganbare Spirit Seekers. So going forward, that will be the name of the series. Ain't nothing really gonna change. It's still gonna be upload the same because I'm too lazy to try to get a separate like approval from Apple and all of that. I'm not doing all that. But basically I just want to have a name that way it's easy for me to plug. And with GonPro going independent and the 1 year anniversary, makes the most sense. All three of us were here this month. Maddie, I'm pretty sure we pretended at least like three times last time we did this that you were here and you were not. I'm pretty
Bless
sure like Matt
you.
started. You just start going. I was like Maddie. I was like, what? I was like, I didn't know we were
What?
doing this. My bad.
I'm always a ghost lurking in the shadows of whatever, whatever. But happy 1 year. I don't know how we made it.
So me and Mask were talking about it last month, and it's kind of weird because obviously it was not planned because we didn't know. It's kind of funny that the 1 year anniversary lines up with Ganbare leaving CyberFight and going independent. It's just it's weird how that like lined up. obviously it wasn't planned or anything, but we were just like, man, it's because like it didn't even hit me to me and Mass were talking. We were talking about this month's shows because we saw there were like three shows and we're like, God fucking damn it. And it's like, man, the 1 year is when they're leaving CyberFight. That's crazy. So it's a tangled web that we weave, but we got through it all. So we got the three shows plus one match from a DDT show, even though that's not our thing. Well, I mean, technically it's our thing. Well, it was our thing, but whatever. So without further ado, we'll get into the first show, which is Gonjo Super Darius 24, which for now is going to be the last Gonjo show until Mocha Harui comes back. I'll talk more about the presser at the end, but basically Manase said that they would put Gonjo on hiatus until Mocha comes back, and then they'll do a show. I mean, makes sense, especially when you're losing two of the three people that Gonjo was built around this past year. So, I mean, makes sense. So I have no problem with that. But this final show, everybody was on it. Good way to go out. In the opening match, we had Bunny Oikawa versus Kaho Kobayashi. I forgot this was like the first note that I took for this, but we raw dog this podcast, so I'm not changing that. I'm just gonna read the notes as is. My first note, and I now realize why it is, but my first note is Bunny Oikawa, I am in love with you, and it's because she had got her hair done. This match is fun. I thought this was. I thought it was a little unremarkable at times in the sense that there was nothing that jumped off the page necessarily. But once we got to like the last 3 minutes, they worked a high speed style, which surprisingly Bunny was really good at. She did really well in like a high speed style like setting. It actually saved the match for me from being like a complete letdown was those last couple minutes. But of course, Bunny lost in true Ganbare fashion, but she's somebody who's sticking around, so she's got to get used to the being a loser thing.
I kind of agree with you because I think like my last note, I'll get to it. Obviously,
Your last note is Bunny Oikawa, I'm in love with you too.
no,
Oh,
not the
oh
because you said like, the
me.
last 3 minutes.
Oh.
It's a nice opening sequence and the filling out process, you know, very basic stuff, but it was fine. I forgot who fucked up or oh no, I think it
What
was
was it? I think I remember. What was
wasn't
it?
fucking up, but it was like I think it was Kaho who they go to shake hands and then Kaho like kicks her in the fucking gut. I was like, never shake hands in wrestling in all caps.
Oh, okay.
and that's like Banny or Bonnie was laying in kicks to Kaho's ass. I was like, okay, just ass based awesome.
Oh my God, I remember that. Yes.
And then again, I think this was Kaho because she got the fucking guns. So I said flexing while you have your opponent in a submission is so beast.
That's crazy out of context. You got the fucking guns. That's
this was about the stretch of your time. I was like, oh yeah, so I love the finishing stretch of this with a lot of very fun back and forth with pins up until the end where it's like, is this gonna be the end? Is this gonna be the end? And then it kind of just like ends with, you know, a roll of pins. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Bunny got protected a little bit, which is cool.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I'm glad that at least she's going to continue to work because I think she's really starting to mesh with the rest of the roster. So I'm glad she's
Yeah, she's definitely
Yeah.
like gotten better. Like when she first started, I felt like she was kind of she's kind of like trying to feel out like what she can and can't do, or like, you know, I mean, because again, she's coming back from injury anyway, so you know, I'm sure getting, you know, kind of back in, you know, into the thick of things just in general was also a lot of it as well. But yeah, she's been much better these past couple showings, so.
Now, this is like the first time in a while where I've watched a show and kind of like thought about it instead of just watching and being like, oh yeah, good show. Let's
That's
go to the
good.
next one. So this matchup, I feel like I'm kind of just repeating the same points of like it was fine. Definitely not like the best for either Kaho or Barney, like because I love both of them. Personally, if they came up to me and said, hey, want to go out somewhere, I'd be like, okay, when?
That's yeah. That's
When?
real.
But honestly, if they had like another match down the line, I wouldn't be against it. Like, this match isn't going to be me being like, never do a match again. No, but yeah.
I unfortunately did see a match that made me say that in this past month, but it was nothing on this that we're going to talk about on this show. So, but yeah, in true Gonjo fashion, let's move on to some of my favorite Gonjo wrestlers as we have Shota and Riara taking on Alex Lee and Tyson Magnucci. Everyone is doing Dragon Ball bits, especially Magnucci. Magnucci needed to calm the fuck down, man. He kicked the absolute shit out of Riara, though, so shouts out. Alex Lee did a nice pin on Shota. Alex Lee was kind of hooping in his match. I gotta get into it. She was going crazy. They started fucking Shota up real crazy style. Her and Tyson were beating the brakes off of him. And then Shota using Riara as a weapon popped me so much. He just kept on trying to use her as a weapon, and it just didn't pan out. Alex Lee got the win. It was a fun tag match for me. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I didn't have too much to say about this. I just had like two little notes. I did also mention Meguchi was kicking the shit out of Priyara, which was fucking ridiculous. And I liked the way that I think it was what's it? I was Ria yeah, it was Riara. Or was it? No, okay, that was the only thing because that's the next match. Never mind. Yeah, no, I thought, yeah, this was a solid tag. Meguchi, I think I talk about this in another note in like another match that he's in later on. But yeah, I think like I mean I know he's a kickboxer, but it is always funny like when you could tell he's just like, okay, I'm just gonna lock in and just like starts fucking whipping these kicks like fucking crazy. It's always fucking ridiculous. But no, I do agree with the Alex Lee thing too. I thought she's always been like a very like a fun little like bright spot on these shows. She always kind of shows that, which is cool.
Yeah. Hopefully they book her a few times in the coming months since these shows aren't going to be here anymore.
Yeah, me too. I hope so.
There's something about like these teams that I don't know what gets to me about them, but I just want them to like continue like teaming up again
Well,
because I
Tyson
never.
Meguchi, anytime he teams with a foreigner, insists on speaking English. Even if it's like one word that he has to spam, like pin. So yeah, that's for starters.
He knows one word and
This
it's
is
pin.
pin. This is a
And
pin.
imagine one of us just meeting him and he's just like, okay, pin, pin. I'm like, I just want you to sign something for me.
Fucking
No, but I really enjoyed this match.
magnitude.
Oh, I really love this match. I think out of a lot of the matches on this card, this is the one that I definitely remembered. And even though Rhea and Shota are both sort of leaving Gunpowder respectively, I hope that if they do manage to meet up in the Independents again, that they kind of reform this team because I don't know what it is about them.
I don't know.
They have
Shota's trying
some.
to go be Chavo Guerrero or something. I don't know.
Oh. He's one thing
He
about
was
the
born in El
man.
Paso, Texas. Okay.
He was born to be
By way of Japan.
Chavo
Oh.
Oh, God.
I think my favorite thing, before we move on, I think my favorite thing about Mayuguchi is, like Matt said, he forgets that he is a former kickboxer and he needs to calm the fuck down. So he fucking just lays it in. And it's there's times he forgets that it's not an actual fight, and it's like my favorite moments.
Well, it's the best. Again, it's the best whenever, like, if it's either like moments like this, especially when it's like,
No,
like
it's like he doesn't even mean to hurt them. He just forgets it's not an actual fight and he just fucking he just lays it in. Oh.
it's so fun.
Next up, we had Yuppie versus Natsu. They are so mean for making this Yuppie's last singles match in the company. I'll tell you what, if you line up all the matches of all time and you put them on a list, you will find that this is indeed one of those matches on the list. One. That's my notes, so feel free to talk.
I okay, so I added some stuff. I had I said a pin right into the stretch muffler was cool, a cool little like addition from Yuppie from Yuppie's regular, just kind of like going into the stretch muffler and stuff was cool. I said I feel like it's gotta hurt to forearm those breastplates that Natsu has on. Like, I don't
Yeah,
know.
they're like spiky.
I feel like that shit gotta fucking hurt. Also, this was me not wanting to get my laptop, so I said, okay, I'm just gonna try to Google I'm gonna try to Chromecast this to my TV. And that was a bad choice because Natsu was on the TV. I said watching a Natsu match on my TV is an insane experience.
I'm
I
surprised
said,
nobody walked in and just goes, yo, what is up with the fucking twisty things on our gear, man?
strangling someone with a whip is crazy behavior. I don't remember who did it, but I just had in the notes that was a very awful Shining Wizard.
Was Natsu because she always does the Shining Wizard.
Yeah, it was kind of rough. And then I just and then I said, damn, Yuppie can't even win when she's on her way out. Tough world.
Nah, that's right.
Yeah.
We don't accept traitors. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna plug her show at the end of this, so it's fine. Then we get to the main event. Miho Momono into Kamira Hoha, Marvelous second on Yuta Manase and Yuri. Boy, I absolutely love this. My notes for this is pretty long, so bear with me. I like that Yuna was the one that worked out that got worked over here. She came back and she didn't take the baton from Yuri. She fully accepted Yuri as Gonjo's ace, and she figured out how to compliment her in this tag match. She built up to a Yuri hot tag, and when Yuri does get that hot tag, she's just on another level. It's not like how she was against these two at Sekigahara at all. Me and Mask actually talked about it a little bit, I think because we watched the Mio and Yuri singles. She feels like she belongs amongst these four. She's like super confident compared to Russell Sekiohara. She goes right at Takumi, challenging her into a strike exchange immediately, even disregarding a Yuna tag at one point to prove that she can hang trading strikes with Takumi. I love the Yuna and Takumi back and forth. Yuna hit a power bomb on Mio, and buddy, buddy, Mia almost wasn't wrestling or living anymore after it. It was incredible, man. I don't know what is a better match for me, this one or the Wrestle Sekiyahara one. I definitely think they're both in the same tier though, and I didn't think that was possible because I love that Sekiyahara match these three had with Tomoko Inaba as well in it. But they should all take a bow because I thought it got to the same level, if not better.
Yeah, no, I thought this match was very fun. I remember seeing people on my timeline that I don't see normally watch GonPro or Gonjo watching this match. So I was like, okay, like, it makes me want to check it out even quicker because sometimes I'll like slack off on watching them. But I said, the first note I have here is I spent a lot of time trying to tell if Yuri dyed her hair for she just had like a decorative item. But I
I
believe
think
she
she
dyed
dyed
it.
her hair.
Yeah, she dyed it. I said Mio working the previously injured leg of Yuna's fucked up.
Yeah, they took liberties with that one.
Drive by to the knee by Mio as well. I just had Yuri hot tag. Here we go. Mio being used as a battering ram is super beast. Once again, Yuri's Swanton is just like Engel's moonsault. She can barely hit that shit. And I just said Mio just killed Yuri on that suplex. But yeah, no, I mean, I thought this was about everything you'd expect when you see these names matched up together,
Yeah.
I thought it was hot, all the energy was super well done. And I think this was like, the closest we can get to Yuna getting her revenge for not being able to be in that tag match on the Big Show a couple months back. So I thought it
I
was really
thought
good.
this probably would have been the match at Sekiyahara had she not been hurt.
I believe so, yeah.
I don't have much more to add. Like, this is one of the tight. No, this tag match was really good. And honestly, I was a bit surprised to the amount of reaction it got on Twitter. But as always, I am surprised whenever something from GonPro or Gonjo gets a little
Oh,
bit
dude,
extra
whenever
attention.
somebody, yeah, when people are posting GonPro like screenshots or clips, it like I have to stop myself from going, what the fuck do you know about fucking Koki Uesaki and Shucho Kasumura in front of 200 people in fucking 2018? What do you know? No, I'm sorry.
What do you know about the law? What do you know? Name five matches that
Name
aren't
five
it.
the happy GWC six-man title defenses he did.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no,
No.
I agree. I'm glad it got traction. Then we go and talk about the one DDT match that we watched this month. It was from Judgment 2024. It is actually up on Wrestle Universe for free if you have not seen it, because they did not share Imanari's video package during the actual Judgment show, and he was not happy about it. We have Ken Oka taking on Sanshiro Takagi. Of course, this match came about. I mean, it's a lot of history. Oka's quit DDT before. He's came back to DDT. He split off and started GonPro. He's been under CyberFight since the start. And as GonPro is now going on to be independent from CyberFight, he wants to fight Sanshiro Takagi because he feels like he's indebted to him. And Takagi told him, he's like, hey, I have something to say to you, but I can only show you in the ring. I can't like use words, which is very funny. The whole GonPro roster was here. Kaisuke Ishii was or Kaisuke Ishii was in the I think it was in one of he I'm pretty sure it was in an opener. He fucking killed a 70-year-old man on the show. I just want everybody to know this. You should go and watch this match that we're about to talk about and Kaisuke Ishii killing a 70-year-old man. It made my day. But the whole roster's here because like I saw Keisuke in gear. I was like, oh yeah, he was booked on this show. I forgot about that. But everybody's here, even the people that are going into who are now freelance as we're talking about all this, they were out there too, because I mean they're still GonPro at the end of the day. You don't quit GonPro, you graduate. That's just how things are. And I love the layout of this match. Takagi decided he was going to be the heel. One of my notes is actually Sanshiro Takagi is beating everybody's ass. Somebody contact the police because he just started attacking Mune and Yuri and everybody. I don't know why he body slammed Mune. There was no need for that, but it's his company, I guess, man. It's DDT. I like Takagi working heel a lot in this match. It was perfect because Ken Oka's so polarizing as a pro wrestler. I don't know if there's anybody I can compare him to stateside, or like somebody that people would know, because like I personally think Ken Oka's a good wrestler, but he's not like this blow away like work rate wrestler. There's
I was
just
gonna say,
some.
he's not a work rate guy.
He's not. He's like,
I'm
it's
trying to
he's
think of.
very grimy. He's very, very grimy, but he's not like a Kenichiro Arai grimy where he's like a grapple guy. He's like very grimy.
Honestly, like this is gonna sound so fucking insane because of how different they are in the ring and shit.
Well, the what I was
Like.
trying to get at is like he's grimy, but his like the crowd support really carries his matches. And the crowd just can't help but rally behind him.
Yeah, like the best like comparison I could think of like a guy who's not like a work rate person, but who always has like energy in his matches because, as you said, like with the fan support and everything. Like the only person I can think of that like American fans and stuff would know is like he reminds me of Sandman in that aspect.
Yeah, I guess so.
Of like, you know, and that's not even like a thing on like Sandman. It's just like I just
Yeah.
think it makes the most sense to me. But no, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's like the best comparison I can really give. There's probably other ones I just can't think at this time. But like I said, his like his aura, his crowd support, it just carries a match because you just can't help but root for him. And Takagi knew that. So he was like, all right, I'm coming here, I'm gonna play the heel. It was perfect. It led to a big Oka comeback. I thought this match was actually very, very good because Takagi, when he wants to be, is very good, and Ken Oka is also very good. And they just started slapping each other. They were going at it. Like you felt the tension of, okay, you're leaving. Show me this is the right decision for you and that you're really ready to compete with me. And like I said, I loved everything about it. I'm surprised Ken Oka got the win, but I'm glad he did. It was a nice little gesture. After the match, Takagi, he shook hands with everybody. He gave Ken Oka a diploma for graduating. It was just a really lovely match for me. I loved it. There's no nothing else I can really hammer home other than I love it because it was just so well done.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely one of those matches of like, it's hard to quantify it in anything other than like how it makes you feel like, you know, on an emotional level. And I thought this match definitely hammered home, you know, everything you were talking about of like, yeah, like this is like the graduation, this is, you know, the big last hurrah. And yeah, I was also kind of surprised. I was like, oh shit, like Ken Oka gets a big win. But yeah, no, I mean, I think you said it too, and it's like, yeah, these are both two guys where it's like when they believe in something and they want something to be good, they just, you know, they still are able to turn it on, you know, to a level that that few wrestlers have because they do, because they just have that connection with the audience, you know, and just a very basic but well done style to their in-ring work. But no, I thought it was really well done.
When I was discussing this match with a few people who I also watched DDT with, they were really excited about it because not only about the history of it, but just because Akan is just such an interesting wrestler, as well as Takagi. But like, I feel like this match is a perfect example of like not only thanking someone, but also like a passing of the torch. I don't know.
Yeah, because we're
In
coming to take DDT the fuck down.
exactly,
Yeah,
let's
you're
go.
done, buddy. You're done.
But if there's any match when it comes to like representing both DDT and Gunpro for anyone who wants to either watch one of them, I feel like watching them together kind of symbolizes it for me personally, and it's one match that I would recommend to people.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was lovely. It was very well done. If only y'all played Imanari's video during the show and he didn't have to get all angry in his task cosplay, but that's just
Yes. Yes.
but yeah, it's interesting times. But like Takagi said, I mean, not much will change other than it's solely on Gonpro now. Like they're gonna be on Wrestle Universe. They're still okay with trading talent and all that. So we'll see what comes, and we'll obviously see what comes in the coming months as we'll be covering it. I have nothing to say about DDT. This is not a DDT podcast. Go listen to Dramatic Dream Dragons. They talk about DDT, and they are much more nicer about Yukio and those KOD run than I am. Then we get to next show, Gonpro 2024 True Blue. I hope Gonpro still has the most ridiculous show names, even though
I hope so too.
because like it's just not gonna be, man. You just gotta keep going with stupid show names. That's what you gotta do, man.
Listen, before we start with the show, I just want to say I can't believe they're being Australia right now because that is I don't know where they got True Blue from beyond the whole Australianism of it. So I'm like, I'm pointing at it. I'm
Dog,
seeing.
dog. Whenever we have the next month, we're gonna talk about Gonbro fucking jumping kangaroo, doing a backflip 2024. Imagine I'm like, oh my fucking god, not again.
Again. Hartley Jackson, you're giving them the
Blaming this on Harvey.
idea.
So to start off the night, we had Yuppie versus Riara. I like that they got a singles. Riara was caving Yuffie's chest in with her forearms. She's the most, I don't know if you heard this, but in the words of Jim Ross, she Riara is the most dangerous striker in WWE history. Shouts out to Riara for being the only smart wrestler who turns a body scissors into a pin, because she just rolled back into a pin. And I was like, thank you, somebody did it. Yapi is oozing with confidence in this one. She, of course, has every right to be confident, as you know. Of course, Riara is not even a year. Well, I think she's coming up on a year soon, being a pro wrestler, but not a full year in yet as far as in wrestling. So she's got every right to be confident. But I loved it. She looked more sure of everything she did. I love the way Riara runs in and spins out with her bulldog. It, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but she runs and she does like the hair grab bulldog thing, but like it's not, who does it that I can use an example. It's not like Scotty Too Hotty, like where she just jumps forward and like, all right, here it is. She like spins out. And it's just a really cool visual. I don't know. You just got to see it for yourself. But I like the way she does it. And then they start throwing forearms. And like at this point, I'm standing up and I'm walking around my room because this is real. This is what wrestling's all about, is Yuppie and Riara trading forearms. This was a hell of a confident performance from Yuppie. Another good showing from Riara. I love this match. Of course, Yuppie gets the win. They deserve the world.
Yeah, no, I thought this was a was very fun, seeing it as like this was gonna be the last time that they get to wrestle those singles. There was a sick arm takedown by Yuppie in their opening a little bit there. Yuppie looked like she was going for a senton, but she kind of just like lands like leg first on Riara's like abdomen, and that shit looked like it fucking hurt. There was a thing here, and I don't remember quite like I don't remember if I can like quite explain it, but like I just couldn't put in my notes like, oh, Riara kind of like dragged Yuppie into a pin. Like, not like necessarily like she dragged her from the ropes, but like I don't know, it was like it was weird. I said that wind up forearm that Yuppie does is pretty cool. And there was this was probably my favorite spot of the match. They were like battling with control in the roll up pin. Like they kept like going back and forth. Something that I was like, oh, it's kind of crazy. Like I just don't see that a lot. But it was pretty cool. It was done really well. And Yuppie finally beat somebody with a stretch muffler. So let's fucking go.
Honestly, this was just one of the matches that I appreciated as it was going on because I knew it was going to be the. Hopefully, it's not the last time that they meet up. But like, honestly, with Yuppie being uncertain whether she's coming back again unless she's
I think she's more
updated on
confident that
that.
she's going to continue to wrestle. So I've been keeping
Okay.
over their Twitter. I'm gonna get to
Okay,
all
thank
that at
God.
the end, but yeah.
Thank God. So I can still put out hope that they can do this independently at some point. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the situation, but like, this is probably a matchup that should happen like as often as it can because I love it. I love it so much. And then I don't want it to just be this. So if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I'll cry in the corner and rewatch this match. It's fine. I'm
Do that
okay.
anyway, it's fine.
Yeah. No one can judge me here. Oh.
Was gonna say, I mean, we probably could, but I don't, we're not going to.
Oh, fair enough.
Maybe Mass. Mass is very disrespectful to women. I'm not like that though. Next up, we had Harukaze and Yunamanase, the OG Gonjo. Girls alongside Mocha Haruhi, taking on Yuri and Bunny Oikawa. Harukaze tried to body slam Yuna and it just wasn't happening, but I respect the effort. Harukaze also respect her for not waiting until Bunny was in place and just drop kicking her straight in the head. all caps, Bunny crossface. There was no holding her back here. Yuri and Yuna are absolutely beasting in there with each other. Yuri throws super kicks like Yujiro will never not pop me. It is the greatest thing ever. Yuna looked really good here. I think I have the same note later on, but she's starting to get back to form a little bit. She's, you know, she's starting to cook a little bit. She's getting there slowly. She beat Yuri there, which is, you know, pretty big because they can still run the singles whenever they see fit. She already won it by then, but Manase got the International Ribbon Tag Belts back with Totara Satsuki over in Ice Ribbon. So just came back, already got a belt. That's what's up.
See, well, that's a real worker right there. Yeah, I just had two little things about this. I said Yuna using Harukaze as a weapon, but then Harukaze tries to do it, but she did, but it didn't work for her. And I was like, that was a good little bit there. And then I kind of said what you said of like, yeah, I think like whenever they want to run that Yuna versus Yuri match is definitely going to be worth it, whether that be on a big Gonpro show or if that's on the Return Gonjo show once Mocha's back up running. Either way, I think it's gonna be worth it. So
I really appreciate when like Harukaze just has like Gonjo tags or singles just a little bit. Although I love her in mixed person or
Yeah, I was gonna say
anything
you better
else.
not fucking disparage Lethal Weapon on this podcast, buddy.
If I ever do that, it's because I've been taken away. A hand on my heart.
I would tweet at Hartley Jackson and let him know that his Australian brethren are turning on him as we speak.
as we speak. No, but I felt similar when I watched the TJPW in Gonjo like show, which happened after this. But there's something about Harukaze that just lights up any sort of ring that she's in, especially recently. I don't know what it is, but every time I watch a match of hers, and I swear I'm getting deja vu mentioning this because I probably mentioned it in like the last time I was on the podcast, like my eyes instantly just go to her and see what she does, and it's amazing. Although in saying that, is equally really talented, and sometimes I watch them and it's just like me playing like a tennis match, being like, where are they going? Where are they going? Oh shit.
Oh yeah, no. After this, I saw an article. It was and the picture was half Michael Jordan and half Harukaze, and it said might be the GOAT question mark. But next up, oh my God, excited. We had Keisuke Ishii and Sunichiro Tominaga versus Makoto Oishi and Shuya Asai. absolute underground classic right here. I love Oishi and Asai as a tag team, first of all. And this is perfect. This was a perfect match for me. Tomonaga did a no-hand Frankensteiner to start this match. Literally, ring inductions isn't done. He pops off a no-hand Frankensteiner just because. Oishi did an interception tornado DDT out of the ropes. Somebody else has done it before that's like a little more notable to some people, but it was sick. I love it. And then I'm pretty sure at some point Oishi shouts fuck you, because I said, did Oishi just shout fuck you? Question mark. Oishi and Asai are like one of my favorite tag teams ever. Their double team offense is just so innovative. Nobody is doing it like them. Teams could learn a lot if they watch any Oishi and Asai matches, whether it's present day, older stuff, K-Dojo. If they just watch them, tag team wrestling would be in a lot better place, because they're so good. And it's like they don't skip a beat whenever they get back together and team up again like they did here. Ishii just got cobra'd in the dick. The Santino move, Asai cobra'd him just straight in the dick just because. I don't know why. But this match kicked a lot of ass. I highly recommend. Also, another part of this match I like for y'all, so y'all's piece. Makoto Oishi got hurt during this match. He had to miss like the next DDT show. And my favorite part is he very clearly gets hurt, because they ask him if he's all right, and he's like moving like pretty, and to the point you can tell he's hurt. But like, and I'm pretty sure that both Ishii and Tomonaga asked him if he was okay. And he was like, yeah, you know, let's finish it out. And they just start whooping his ass. He hurt. He's hobbling. And they just start beating the brakes off of him. Ah, oh, it was real.
Yeah, I had a couple things about this, kind of like a lot of the echoing kind of what you said. But my favorite bit about this was the very, very, very beginning of this match. Is like Oishi and Asai are making their entrance, and I think it was Oishi was on the top rope, and you just see his eyes like widen. And then you see why, because like fucking as Tomonaga like rushes at him, like kicks him off the fucking top. That shit was done so well, because Tomonaga comes out of the fucking frame, and it was so well done. I thought it was fucking hilarious. Again, I don't even know what I don't even know what it was, but this probably could just be about a lot of the shit they did in this match.
Mm-hmm.
But I just put that was the craziest double team move I've ever seen. I don't even know what you even call that. So they did some fucking crazy ass shit. Yeah, I just said this match kicked ass, very fast pace and so much inventive shit going on. But yeah, no, I thought like this was such a fun little like middle of the card match to just like keep shit just going, like, you know, balls to the fucking walls, because they were.
I could watch this seven more times.
Yeah. Like, it was a match that was like 15 minutes, but it did not feel like 15 minutes at all.
My only sort of thought was about like the whole injury and just them basically going like, we're going to make sure that you stayed injured for a while and just stop beating the hell up. But
Tomonaga
yeah,
is a notorious sleaze bag in Gon Pro lore, so he has to.
Yeah, exactly. If he doesn't, who will? That's my ending statement. If he doesn't, who will?
I can't wait till we do Gonbari profiles for everybody that's staying, and you know, inform people of the whole roster, and I just sit here and recite the Tomonaga promo from when he became Mune's debut opponent, and he's like, oh, you think pro wrestling's hard? Nah, what's hard is getting fucking your face pissed on by a prostitute and getting that action. Tomonaga's fucking he's the fucking goat. Oh, he's such a little weirdo. The next up, we had not the main event, but the semi-main. We had Ken Oka, Mizuki Watase, and Munetatsu Nakamura versus Tyson Maeguchi, Hartley Jackson, and Imanari. And buddy, listen. I have it in my notes, so I'm not going to jump to it now, but we'll get to it. Tyson and Imanari are being so fucking loud to start this, and it's only the entrances. They're just yelling for no reason. And I'm like, okay, can I like chill? Mune graduated, I believe, from college, so he had his little graduation certificate along with him. It was cute. People cheered for it. Watase's bulked up a little bit. He's getting a little bulky. I don't know if we've noticed this in the past months, but like he looked very bulky here. I like it. And then this is it. Watase and Hartley are in the ring, and then they just start trading shoot headbutts for no reason. And they finish it by no hands slinging their heads at each other and just loud thud. Tremendous. This is pro wrestling. This is pro wrestling in its greatest form. I posted it on Twitter and somebody commented, I haven't liked shoot headbutts since what happened with Shibata, and it took everything in my body to respond to them. Well, shut the fuck up. I didn't ask you that, did I?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because, hey, I'm here.
Flag losing, bro. I get it, but also that's just bad.
Listen, you look, all right, you got a reason to be scared, that's fine. But two of my favorite wrestlers are Masakita Miya and Atsushi Kotoge. This is what I'm about, okay? this might be my favorite Gunpro Trios match since like Sekigahara, because it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah, no, I thought this match was fucking sick. I had a couple things. So crowd's on fire for this opening bit. Imanari and Oka are just letting shit rock. This is the note I prefaced in when we were talking about Meguchi earlier. I said my favorite part of any of these big tags with Meguchi is when someone challenges the kickboxer to kick them and he lights them the fuck up. And I said Watase got the brainbuster on Harley. That shit was fucking insane. This is when they were doing the headbutts. I said chaining CTE in my room right now. This is real grabs. And I just had it all caps. Osaka cutter raw.
Raw for real, for real.
That shit was fucking dope. It was a great fucking match.
It was.
I don't think there's been like a six man tag for a while that makes me just like keep watching to see what happens. And this truly was one where one thing after another just made me kind of just sit there and not like say anything or do anything. Cause I'm like, oh, where are they going now? What are they doing? Oh God. And then it got to the end and I'm just like, okay, I'll save the tag team match for a little bit later because I want to replay the match again. And then it got to a point where I was just like, oh yeah, I need to go to bed. But no, it was really, really good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like I said, it's my favorite Gunpro Trio since the Dream Future Sekigahara match. Then we get to the main event, Spirit of Gambari tag titles, Ground Absolute, Takuya Wada, and Shujo Katsumura defending against Shota and Soma Takao. Wada fucking mania, baby. Awesome stuff to start things off with show and or not show, god damn it. Shu and Shota on the mat. Taking my shirt off and swinging it around for this Takuya Wada comeback. Like I said, Wada fucking mania, baby. Fun spot in this one where Shota goes for a sharpshooter, but Katsumura is resisting, but he grabs Katsumura's wrist and starts using it to help him turn him over on his stomach for the sharpshooter. It was very, very simple, but such a good little added piece. Shota's very good at pro wrestling, if y'all don't know. It does cost him, though, because as he flips him over, Shu was in perfect position to grab the ropes when he got turned over. God, Shu hit a flying knee in this one that was crazy. I love the false finish near the end where Shota ducks the roundhouse kick and catches him with the Gnosuke clutch. Like, crowd bit on it, thought it was it. Ending stretch was hot. Katsumura ended up getting the win with the submission he usually uses to win. It's like fucked up arm like thing that I don't know the name to. But hey, bright side is Ground Absolute keeps their belts. Shota, you're not getting a belt for leaving, buddy. I'll tell you that right now. which, funnily enough, after this backstage, Shota said, well, since he couldn't win the belts after he becomes independent from Gunpro, he's not going to step in the Gunpro ring for a while. He's gonna go do the other stuff. So that makes sense. It's a good. I like how they did it. That's a good way to paint that. But also, what a fucking mania!
I didn't have too much about this in my notes, but I did think it was a very good match.
I think it was probably the weakest Grand Absolute title defense. However, I still enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I still thought it was pretty good. I agree though. The only thing I did have on here though is I think I don't remember exactly like what happened. I want to say maybe like he just kind of like he kind of like fucked up his him like getting to the rope. But like I said, like Wada almost like
Oh
choked him onto the springboard.
yeah. He
I
almost like
was just like,
died. It
oh
was crazy.
shit, he almost died. But no, I agree. I think it was still a fine tag match, but it's kind of what I was expecting going in with like Shota and someone. It's like sometimes they can turn it on, sometimes it's kind of like okay, whatever. But I again, it's kind of hard at this point for like team for like Ground Absolute to have like a bad match. I think everything they've done has been pretty good, so.
Yeah, no. The perfect tag team, buddy.
Shota and Soma are my boys. Like everyone knows this. I feel like I talk about them a lot more, and I completely ignore their pants. It's fine. It's okay. But this match is
Guess what? We don't
fine.
ever have to see these pants again. Thank God.
Blessed be. But yeah, I think this match was fine. But considering the fact that we don't know whether Shota or Soma will like tag again, it felt very. Yeah.
And my stance when this match was made was we cannot let Crown Absolute lose.
We cannot. No, I thought it was fine. Didn't like I preferred like the semi-main compared to this title match, but like it's not the worst matchup in the
Don't think y'all
world. But
understand. Wrestling will die if Takuya Wada does not have a title.
wrestling will go down to the ground. Exactly.
There are three
Wada
guarantees.
is showing up at WrestleMania to finish his story.
There are three guarantees in life: death, taxes, and Athena and Takuya Wada having titles. Exactly. Exactly.
The final show that we did watch on the month before we preview next month's or technically this month's show, is Tonight on the Hill, where you can see the Moon 2024. Like I said, these are the greatest names in the biz. Don't have a lot of notes for a lot of these. Honestly, thought this show was probably the weakest of the ones we watched. Until that main event. That main event really saved it. We had to open things up. We had Riara and Yuppie in their final Gone Pro match, taking on Manase and Bunny Uekawa. Thought it was a perfect send-off for Riara and Yuppie. Everyone in the match looked really good, I thought. I thought everybody, nobody was like somebody that you could cast as being the weak link of the match to where they had a bad performance. I thought everybody was very good in this. As I said earlier, Yuna's really starting to return to form rapidly. She was like tremendous in this. Hope Riara and Yuppie succeed in whatever their next chapter is as wrestlers, because God, do they deserve it. They're just incredible. Yuna won here with her Full Nelson Glam Slam thing, which is so beast. I'm glad she just gonna keep doing that because that's real. Yeah, I couldn't think of a better way to send Riara and Yuppie off. I thought this was perfect.
Yeah. What did I have to say about this? I said, oh, because there was a it was like Benny and Riara, like they were doing like this little bit, and I think like Benny like fucking like stretches her like they like sat down like face to face, and she like fucking stretches her forward. I was like, that shit looks super fucked. I did say this also about Banny. I said, all right, it's been a few months now. I think Banny needs to get rid of that fucking submission where she puts like the leg over,
Oh
like I was like, I don't know, man. I gave it a bit. I just don't think it is too worth it. I think there's a bunch of other submissions you could have went and kind of achieved the same thing. I mean, hell, just a regular arm bar I think would have done the job more, personally. There was a good little bit here where Yappy and Rihara are like trying to like take down Yuna. She's like taking like all like a bunch of like, you know, small offense from them. But she's just not falling until finally she does. Yuna, speaking of submissions, this one was a good one though. I had this note. I said, I hate that the only person I can remember who does the submission that Yuna was doing is Rhea Ripley, because it
Oh, that's
was very
Tsuji
good.
Kondo's a gorilla clutch.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's better. Yeah, because like I was looking, I was like, fuck. The only person I can remember that did this is fucking Rhea. But
Well, I
yeah, no.
mean, WWE is
I thought
your
it was a
favorite
sick ass.
wrestling promotion, so.
Wow. It was a sick submission though. I thought it was. I think it's something that Yuna should keep doing. It's really good. I said good near fall. I almost thought Rhea was gonna get her on the roll up. I said Yuna did not have to murder her with the lariat like that, goddamn, because she
No, she
fucking
did.
kills her. That shit was nuts. But no, I definitely agree with what you're saying. Like, this tag match was, everybody looked really good in it, I think.
Sure.
For a tag match that I swear was longer, because I'm checking the times right now at Cage Match, but it's only like 9 minutes. I swear it's longer, but like in a good way, because it kept my attention so much that sometimes tag matches recently for me are just like, okay, cool. Let's just get into it
No, I
and
agree.
let,
Tag wrestling's been pretty weak.
But it was a tag match that really made like Rhea and Yuppie, even though they lost, like it made both of them strong in defeat, which is something that's
Maddie's saying what doesn't kill you makes you stronger is crazy.
exactly. Oh, but exactly, that's exactly my point. Oh, I had something else, but like you just got me, so I think I'm just gonna
All
get.
right,
Oh, yeah.
next up, we were supposed to be watching Chanshiryu, the GOAT, and Yuri taking on Lethal Weapon, Hartley Jackson, and Harakaze. However, I mean gummies, by the way. due to a strange string of events, Yuri and Chanshiryu were not here, and we were graced with the replacements. Hong Kong International Policeman and Hong Kong International Policewoman. This was real wrestling. This is real wrestling. Hong Kong International Policeman came out packing heat. He had the pistol on him.
The boy had
Hong Kong International Policewoman tried working with her hat on, and it just was not happening. That hat kept falling off.
to
And then
get.
I have it all caps. Jackson got shot. Hong Kong International Policeman threatened to shoot Jackson. And then Hong Kong International Policewoman and Harakaza was like, "No, you can't do that, buddy." He's like, "Oh, yeah, you're right. I can't." So he goes up to him and he shoots him anyway. I love that Hartley won by like putting the handcuffs on him and hitting a Death Valley driver. That's so real.
Bro, that shit was so fucking nuts.
I love this match. I thought this might be my match of the year, I'll be honest.
I like, it's funny because I didn't put it in my notes, but I did, like, I remember, because they've done like, you know, the whole like Hong Kong, you know, policeman
Yeah.
stuff before, but I thought this was like the best use of it. I thought it was a very fun match. My first note is ACAB includes Hong Kong policeman and Hong Kong policewoman. The string to Yuri's whistle breaking as she's getting forearms in the corner was fucking hilarious. Because she's like trying to pull this fucking whistle out so she can like stop.
And the whistle
Just like,
breaks.
yeah, it fucking breaks and she has to like find it on the floor. I said putting the police in a match with Lethal Weapon is big brain booking.
Real.
Fucking and Shiryu does the pat down into a roll up, which is fucking hilarious.
He's like, "Oh, my bad, bro. I was just patting you down."
I said, because I think like Harley pulls out a gun at some point, but it was like very small. I was like, Harley, we're gonna get you a better heater than that. Fucking Yuri does the convulsion cell after the suplex, and I was like, what are you, fucking Terry Funk?
Nah, she's her idol, Devon Dudley.
Another thing with Yuri and the whistle, she was whistling as she gets chopped. Just fucking funny. And I just said, yeah, handcuffed Death Valley Driver is insane. That shit was so fucked up, but it was awesome.
I think my only note is for the amount of times that I've seen people pull out guns in the ring, I never thought that we would be this close to someone actually being shot. And then, I truly do agree that this match is match of the year contender. There's something.
I don't know. I don't know. Come on.
Let us cook for a second when we talk about this match. I tell you, no, but it was really good, and I feel like if I say any more, I would just be repeating you two. So
she said, "Cinema, aura,
yeah,
mana,
the mana,
the mana,
mana, yeah." Then we get to our next match. We have Romance Dawn and Shinichiro Tomonaga versus Yankee Nikinju and Munetatsu Nakamura. Yankee Nikinju, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is Isami Kodaka and Yuka Miyamoto. Expect a little bit more out of this match. It wasn't really what I expected. Like I said, I expected a lot more. They did some good stuff in there, but most of the match was spent like brawling on the outside and throwing buckets of water on each other and the crowd. This was at Uno Park, by the way, for those listening. So it was a park setting. DDT runs here, and they did a Okatani and Miyamoto match here. They kicked fucking ass, and y'all should watch it. But I wanted a little bit more out of this with the names involved, but you know, I was cool with what we got. I love Shota putting over Mune on his way out. Mune getting the win with the German suplex. My last note here, Yuka Miyamoto, feel free to swing by anytime, big man.
Yeah. Let me see. What did I put down here? I said that I would love to see a Mune Tomonaga singles. Just because Mune, you know, every time we talk about him, he's gotten better, and I think I'd love to see kind of like
be a lot better than the debut match.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I just said water attack in all caps because they started fucking busting out the water. So why'd they use Mune as a catapult? And then said, is Mune even old enough to drink?
Yeah, buddy.
And I think like there was like a bit where like they were like bullying Mune, and like he just was like, yo, fuck off. He just like stopped playing with me. And then I just said, yeah, Mune dub, because he fucking won. I was like, let's go. But no, I thought it was, you know, it was a bit more on the goofy side than like, yeah, I was kind of expecting, especially with how goofy the main event gets as well. But
I just really want to see Yuka Miyamoto wrestle.
Yeah, that's fair. But no, I thought overall it was like fine enough.
Yeah. I feel like if we learned anything, is we don't take Gambare outside, because they just they have a whole world to just throw each other, and I feel like it shows in like every single match. But like, I don't know what it is about them doing like outdoor like shows, because
I don't know. I think personally they need to do a show with the zoo and just have fucking like Ken of the Riders or something.
Get them fighting with the animals alongside them. Let's see.
Mune trying to fucking German suplex a fucking tiger. Oh, Kenoka spearing an elephant.
We're coming up with original content. Okay, you better listen to this. We better get like 10%.
Kenoka, if you want to hit my DMs, we can talk business, buddy. I got some
ideas.
We can
talk business.
We can talk big business.
Yeah, but I don't have too much more beyond that. So, long main event time we shall get into.
sorry. Like I said, I was eating gummies, man. Let me get to the main event. It was called something else. It was like the Ganbare, like it was like the Fantastic Tag or something. It was something. It was called something crazy, but I didn't get the actual name. It's on Wrestle Universe. The name that I'm thinking of, but I didn't write it down, unfortunately. But it's it might have been the GonPro like All Star Tag or something. We have Koki Iwasaki, Keisuke Ishii, Imanami Yumehito, and Tyson Mayuguchi versus Mizuki Watase, Ken Oka, Shuto Kasumura, and Takuya Wada. Now, when I saw the time was fucking like 47 minutes and some seconds, I almost just did not watch this match. Because I was like, man, like a 48-minute eight-man tag sounds like something that's going to make me quit watching wrestling. Because that's ridiculous. But how they did this match is they separated it into five different two-on-two matches. And, best three out of five. Team, the side of the eight-man team that wins three of those gets the actual overall win. It was nice. I liked how they did this. I rocked with it a lot because I thought it provided some really good wrestling. While not like exhausting like everything you can do in an eight-man tag setting. I love the scummy Watase shorts. I don't know what the verdict on those are, but I think they kick lots of ass. This is just something I said where the match was quite long, but it is now nighttime and at this venue it's outside, so it is very cold. So the camera shows Shuichi Katsumura, and he's got a windbreaker on that he did not wear to the ring, so I don't know where this came from. Tyson and Koki is like my dream team because they start lighting Kenoka up, and I was like, yeah, this is beautiful. This is pro wrestling. Like I said, I should have hated this with the time, but I loved every bit of it. It helps that they split it up. I think this match really showed off Gonpro's history, past, present, and future. I hope we see Koki Iwasaki more again because I miss him. There's just something special about him and GonPro. He was stellar in this match, but there's just something special about him and GonPro to where there's nobody like him, and he can just be this. His aura is just so big in GonPro, and I just can't explain it. Yeah, he's doing very well freelancing. I'm sure he's making a lot of money, but miss him so much. He was just tremendous here. He was by far the MVP of the match for me.
Yeah, I echo that sentiment as well. My first fucking note in here is Big Coke is back. Coke is back on the menu. they start fucking jumping Imanari at the beginning. I thought that shit was fucking funny. As this match is still breaking down in the very early parts, like Ishii was like wearing a fucking hoodie, and Wada still had on like his fucking gi, and they were just beefing on the outside in these fucking just like their fucking entrance gears.
Yeah,
I thought that shit was fucking hilarious. That shit was beast. Having all caps, who gave Watase a gun? And they were like
a lot of guns on this show, man.
There was a lot of guns on this show. They were like fucking around on the outside over like, because again, we talked about like this is like a, like, it's like a water park or like some weird shit, but like it's emptied out. But like there's like this railing with like this small little area with like rocks and shit. I said, Oka should have taken the bump over the railing. also, again, with the gun, Watase has it again, but he does this fucking thing where him, I think it's him and, I remember, I think it's like, I want to say it's like him and Meguchi or like somebody, they're like doing like a strike battle. And in the middle, he just adds the fucking water gun. He just starts fucking shooting it instead of like hitting him with forearms. It just shoots him in the face. And I was like, dog, if you fucking shoot me in the face with a water gun, I'm using my fucking kickboxing background and kicking you in the fucking head. Go to hell. And I said, yeah, right here. Everything Oka and Koki did in this match together has been gold. Like everything that they did had like so much energy. Like it felt like some of the best stuff that, you know, that this match had. And just like overall, again, I do hope You know, kind of like now that we see this, and it's like hopefully freelance and everything, we get to see Koki back. That would be really cool. I think he's, you know, he's still just as great, if not better, than the last time we saw him in Gone Pro as a full-time wrestler. Yeah, but overall, I do agree. I got scared by the time limit in this, or like the time stamp of like, oh God, you know, fucking almost 50 minutes. But I thought it was very well done. And agree. Like, I think like this actually was like one of the best matches I've seen in a bit. Like, it was really good.
You know, whenever someone asks, like, why our company is doing, like, such long matches, I want to refer to this match, like, every time to be like, this is a good example of it. And the rest are basically being shit at it.
Slander!
Slander! No. But from a match that I thought I legitimately was about to like turn off the show and be like, okay, I'm good, good night, to like, oh, well, no.
Yeah, this was definitely a match of like, I was gonna say, like, I was like, this should be a match where it's like we shouldn't watch it and say, and just say we did, but no, it actually was really good. So
yeah. And it's one that you definitely need the time to just focus on that one match, because otherwise if you're watching like multiple shows in a row and you get to this one, you're just like, I cannot, like, extremely cannot. So if anyone takes any recommendations from this month's podcast, is to sit down, just watch that 8-man tag, and then, I don't know, complain about Cody Rhodes on Twitter or something.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's the mana right there. Okay. So obviously, as we're recording this, Gunpro has left CyberFight. They're still in Wrestle Universe, obviously, because that's where they're going to be streaming shows. Shota, Riara, and Yappy are all freelance now. Yappy and Riara are going to have a produce show on May the, it's either 1st or 11th. I want to say it's May the 11th, but you can check their social media. They're posting a lot about it. It's a co-produce produce show, so it's both of them producing the show together. I believe I read that Yappy's taking time off until then. She's not going to wrestle until then. Riara, on the other hand, she is one of the all people that got accepted to be into the auditions for Evo Girls. So, Shuji Ishikawa, don't you fuck this up, man. Don't you do this to me. You better choose wisely. But yeah, hopefully she gets in there. Shota, he's hitting the ground running. He just worked in Philadelphia. He worked the DDT show. I believe he worked like the Fire or something. He's just trying to work anywhere he can. He's trying to travel. He's trying to do everything. So, you know, all his stuff, his contact info, you know, his merch stuff, it's all there. Gone Pro relaunched and, you know, started their own site because they had to become their own like corporation in order to get venues like Korakuen and such. The new site, I've checked it out. It is very, very good. There's inquiries on there. There's roster profiles. There's even a section for trainees, because they're looking for trainees as we speak. So please, somebody, go join the dojo. Don't get me wrong, I stared at that fucking thing for like a good 10 minutes, but man, yeah. So yeah, I'd recommend checking out the new site. They did a press conference as well. Not much out of that, you know. It was basically everybody that they had available. That, you know, just basically announced the they didn't announce the restart, but basically, you know, it was a good launch to the independent era of Gone Pro. Kenoka and Katsumura are directors. While President Mishima, the guy who is the director for like Gonjo, he's the president of the company. I believe Keisuke Ishii is also a director, but I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he is also another director. But basically, the thing I want to get out of this press conference, which is fun, is President Mishima, who's like a former Nippon TV employee, I want to say. They gave him like money for his retirement, and he like invested $3 million or 3 million yen into GoPro, which is crazy. He's like, yeah, he's like, I'm 58. I just want the company to be as successful as it can. I said, this is the love of the game stuff that I like right here, man.
This is
This
the real, see, this is the real shit, man. See, that's what,
yeah.
see,
He said, I got
bro,
3 million yen right now that says we ain't no bitch.
see, that's the real shit. If I was rich, that's what I would be doing. I'm like, you know what? You want to run a wrestling show? Well, give me the best talent you guys fucking have, and I'll
Yeah.
give you all money for it.
That's crazy because
Exactly.
like they're probably okay financially. And they're gonna make money from Wrestle Universe, but he just goes, man, I got 3 million yen right here, buddy.
With your name on it.
Exactly.
That being said, they did announce the card for the 427 card. I believe this will be airing live. It is at a venue. I don't know the actual name to the venue, but Katsumo and Wada, it's a place that they competed at in like MMA and stuff like that. It's a venue they hold close to them. So they were excited about wrestling in it again. We'll go through the card here. Just very quickly, you know, in the coming months, we'll go match by match and, you know, talk about it in a little bit more detail. But we did a lot of shows tonight, so, you know, we'll just brush through this quickly and, you know, note anything we need to note. So I don't know if this is the match or I'm missing what it is, but in the opener, we have Tokuya Wada versus Shinichiro Tomonaga in a singles match. We're already booking the match of the year in the first month of independence, which is lovely. I'm glad that's happening. We have Munetatsu Nakamura and Mizuki Watase versus Tyson Maeguchi and Tsuyoshi Okada. This is for the real sickos right here. Unk is back. We got Unk, Tetsuya Dokiwa, and
Long.
Yumehito Imanari taking on Fuminori Abe and Kenoka. Then we have a trios match, intergender trios match. We have Rekka. He is a Taiwanese pro wrestler, I believe. He
Yeah,
lives in
I think
Japan.
he's been around before, or
No,
like, I think I've
he's been
seen.
around. He's in Japan wrestling a lot.
Yeah.
He actually designed the new GoPro poster with all of them like fighting on it. I fucking love that poster, by the way.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes.
It's Rekka, you know, Manase and Yuri taking on Minoru Fujita, Unagi Sayaka and Harakaze. Unagi is not happy about teaming with Minoru Fujita again, but guess what? Deal, buddy, man. It's tough.
Them's the ropes.
And then when I saw this, I almost took my shirt off in the middle of the parking lot at work and waved it around. Spirit of Ganbare World Openweight Championship match. Shuto Katsumori defending against Keisuke Ishii. First time in like 4 years that they're having a singles match. This is
Oh, let's
beautiful.
go. Let's go.
I think it's 4.5 years, but it's somewhere around there. I can't remember the exact date, but you know. I love this card, first of all. I don't think they could have put a better main event for them going independent than this. This is like GoPro in its truest form. It's gonna kick a lot of ass. I love Shuichi Katsumori. You are like, I have championed you for the past year, but it's about that time, buddy.
It's
It's
about that time. It's
Mana, baby. Come on. Come
about
on. It's time. It's time.
time.
I'm glad that we went independent and Kenoko's like, man, we have to use our money like smartly, you know. We don't have anybody to be our safety net. And then he's like, all right, yeah, let me just book Fuminori Abe and Takaiwa and Nagi. That's probably going to cost a lot of money too. So, like, let's just do it. The tag match is going to be crazy with Unk and Abe in it. And of course, Imanari and Kenoka. I think this card is like super strong.
Yeah,
I
I
think
saw
this
it and I
card
was
has the
like,
potential to the point to where the worst match on the show could probably still be above average or flat out good.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, I don't think there's like sometimes you like I see some cards and I'm like, oh, I'm not, those aren't that's like my favorite, but you know, it's like it'll be fine. But it's like there's nothing on this show where I'm just like, that's going to be flat out like okay. Like I think
or yeah, I think
it's going to
all
be
this is
good.
going to be good.
Yeah, like, everything looks really fun. I'm really excited for this card. So, and that's also I think just like a big plus in like running one show a month now. I think it's like
Yeah.
you get to put more energy into these cards and nothing feels like you're wasting time, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They get to put out all their heavy hitting stuff for this card. So like, you know, there's no holding back. So I like that philosophy as far as going to one show a month because like, you know, you really gotta pick your spots and you gotta time all this stuff correctly. I do think it's interesting for the tag titles in a singles title that are both held by Katsumura because, like, you know, for at least now, he can't defend both belts on the same show. So, like, you know, maybe 1 month will be the tags, 1 month will be the world. It'll be interesting to see how they do all this.
I mean, he could defend both, but...
He could, but, you know,
he
why would he
could.
do that, man?
Anything's possible in Grand Prix. That's all I'm gonna say. Anything's possible.
Actually, you know what? Somebody should do that. Like, bro, no, you are defending. I don't care if you got a tag title match. You're giving me a shot at the world title, man. But with that being said, this is his last month as champ anyway. So it's because it's about that time. It's a
it's about that time.
God. So like I said, it's 1 year, so. It's like I said, it's I think it's very fitting that the 1 year lined up with the exit of Cyberfight, even though like they're still in wrestling and all that. Gives the opportunity to, you know, start, you know, give the series a name and all that good jazz. Anything just parting notes that y'all want to say, you know, about Gone Pro now that it's independent or literally anything as far as pertaining to the month or anything.
No, I mean, I think it was definitely a month that I was kind of like dreading just when I was like, oh God, there's so many shows. But I mean, I think just overall, I think there was nothing too bad on any of these. And I thought like overall, everything really was worth it, you know, worth not just, you know, only watching, but discussing here and everything. And I think, hey, if watching all this shit is what I had to do to get back to one show a month, hey, I'll happily do it. But no, I mean, I think, you know, there was definitely once the original announcement happened, there was a lot of like, oh, what's, you know, what's the next step? What's, you know,
my biggest concern was not losing the entire roster and if it was still going to be accessible. And luckily,
yeah, and I think we kind of got those, we got those questions answered, and you know, but overall, we kept most of the people that I really wanted to keep. Yeah. I really would have liked to keep Riara and Yapi, but I understand their decisions. Yeah. And we will still be able to watch pretty easily. So that is a W in my opinion. Everything yeah. else is
Bunny's
is
actually
you know,
not on the first card, but she's one of the freelancers. Wada and Maiguchi got named specifically as like the freelancing talent, although Maiguchi belongs to Bushi's like a crackhead
school.
Factory. Yeah. They're like, you know, gonna be working on Pro going forward regularly. But she's reffing on the 27th because she's also a ref.
Nice, nice. Yeah, no, I mean overall I think this, you know, worked out as best as best we could have hoped, and I'm excited to you know, for Gone Pro and you know, for us to even, you know, like continue on this journey and kind of like step into a new world as independence, you know, and kind of see, especially with the first card being announced. Like I think we talked about, like it looks like it'll be very fun. So excited to talk about that next time we get on here.
I don't have much beyond if there's any time to jump on Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's
and
now.
Beyond like the one
you could
match
legit
that
jump
some...
in
yeah.
like fresh because it's going to be the first month and it's only one show a month.
Exactly. And like there's no like real hassle to kind of be worried about catching up with like three or five shows because of the one show format that they're doing currently. And they already have the schedule up until September, October.
Yeah, I think it's October. I think it's October. It's around that area though. You're correct because they got the next few months out. That's how we knew it'd be once a month. So
yeah, so if you want to watch any of the shows throughout those months, they have it on their Twitter, but I feel like all of us will retweet it at some point or have already retweeted it, so you can catch it there. But yeah.
Yeah, you see, that was a good point about jumping in because right now is perfect time. But before we get out of here, my like whole thing is whatever the worst case scenario was, we didn't get it. So that's all that matters to me. Everybody didn't leave. We weren't on Nico Pro. It's okay. Mishima said, I got 3 million yen that said we ain't no bitch, and I agree. We hear it. With that being said, like I said, these episodes are going to get a lot shorter with, of course, being one show, but I do think the show is going to get a lot better because we do not have to stress. I don't think you understand how mentally, physically, and emotionally just exhausting this month with like three shows was.
Yeah, three shows plus the Kenoka, match as well. Even though that was a bit
trying to
was
catch, short,
but still
trying to catch all these in a timely manner.
Mm.
God, it was a struggle. So once a month's gonna be a godsend. Hopefully they get the schedules up in a timely manner as well, as far as the match cards after the shows happen, so we can talk about those. I don't know. It's gonna be an adjustment, but it's gonna be real fun. So hopefully all is well. We didn't do MVPs or anything like that. The MVPs are the people that are now freelance because I will miss all of them. And hopefully they find success in their next parts of their careers, whatever that may be. It's 1 year of doing this. Hopefully we'll make it to another, unless like Kenoka and Takagi start fighting and like they leave Wrestle Universe and everything just goes out.
You never know when wrestling, but hopefully not that.
Weirder things have happened, but as anyway, who knows? Maybe if it's accessible and on Wrestle Universe when the talent go to other companies, we might check it out. Who knows? We'll see. As always, I'm gonna continue to do what we are gonna continue to do our half-assed best and see you next time.